You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Good morning and welcome to the Flotline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It'll be a brief time, but some time of motivation and inspiration with some education. And you know we don't do any manipulation, no solicitations. We're not trying to hustle any money. We're not trying to get you to join it up, fess up, give it up, nothing like that. This show is simply about giving you truth, accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to the plan, you can do so. That's your life, your decision. You live it, no one else. But it's always good to get every bit of the information that you get so you know you're going to make the right decision. Because remember, bad decisions limit future options. Bad decisions limit future options. And the worst decision anyone could ever make is to reject the forgiveness that comes through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This show is designed to remind you of these sort of biblical truths and maybe even introduce you to a different way of studying, a different way of learning the Word of God, because most of the time it's not done this way. People don't try to verify and identify God's plan. There's a lot of ranting and raving, jumping up and down, shouting and hollering, and it doesn't happen on this show. This show starts with the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. He has redeemed us out of the slave market of sin, and our debt to God has been paid. So we are now free, free of the penalty of sin and the power of death over us, free through Christ Jesus. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you will, in effect, be accepting the offering He made on your behalf. The free gift of grace, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should brag about it. I mean, it was a gift. God gave us a gift. That gift is His Son who gave His life for us. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope or confidence of eternal life. So that's the most important thing for you to remember in regards to what this show is about. It's always about you understanding the plan of God for your life. In the last few shows, we gave a special show for Redding, California. And hopefully you've been praying for that group of people out in Redding, that tremendous CARR fire. All the homes that were destroyed in Redding and roundabout area. And the reason I did is because I broadcast a radio show in Redding every Sunday morning. So I wanted those great folks to know that we're thinking about them. We're praying for them, praying that God would bless them and give them the means to withstand what they faced and to rebuild those that need to. Today I want to continue in our study of the Fantastic Four. You've heard me begin a series on this, and if you've been listening, you'll know the Bible talks about the Fantastic Four. When wisdom enters your heart, that's one of them. And when knowledge is pleasant to your soul, that's the second one. Discretion will then preserve you, and understanding will keep you. Those are the four things: wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding. Miss Deborah Weiss, who's an international expert on free speech and efforts by the Sharia supremacists, and others to suppress, who want to suppress free speech in this country. I want to read to you something that she said. I thought it was very interesting. She warns in her introduction to Islamic influence in Hollywood. That's Miss Deborah Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. She's an international expert on free speech and the efforts made by the Sharia supremacists to suppress it. She said the West is in a war with the global jihad movement. It's primarily a war of ideas, and the mind is the battlefield. Did you hear that? The mind is the battlefield. Muslim Brotherhood front groups have targeted Hollywood as one of the many vehicles through which to conduct its civilization jihad, she said. Through censorship, disinformation, and infiltration, she says. May I remind you that Satan has been at this for centuries, and this is just his latest tool, his latest vehicle to use? He's been after your thoughts and want to change the way that you think. He wants to influence your thinking to get you into the cosmic system. He doesn't want you to think in terms of Romans 12:3, stop thinking in terms of arrogance, but beyond what you should think. But think in terms of humility. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Satan has always been after your thoughts. He's always wanted you to turn self-centered. That's one of the traits of arrogance. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption all lead to self-destruction. So I would like to talk to you about the battle for your thoughts. And I would be honored if you'd let me tell you how to become rich. Rich. You want to be rich? Yeah. I watched that show on TV. Someone told me about winning the lottery. And boy, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. Unfortunately, that's not true. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. But I can tell you how to be rich. I can tell you from the Bible how to be rich. In Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul wrote this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. That's our word. We were talking about one of the Fantastic Four. Remember, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. Understanding, the Greek word S-U-N-E-S-I-S, sunesis. When your hearts are comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ Jesus, in whom, here it is, now you want to be rich, listen, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Another one of the Fantastic Four, knowledge. Knowledge is a treasure. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Knowledge is a treasure. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the key to eternal wealth. I want you to remember that statement. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the key to eternal wealth. Paul wrote these words for the church at Laodicea for one purpose, and that was to encourage them and to have some congregational unity in the church. And he tells them that they can be made wealthy with a full understanding of God's mystery that is in Christ Jesus. The mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. No one ever in the Old Testament conceived, thought of, or could comprehend the concept that the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament would come and camp in them. Remember the Shekinah glory over the tabernacle, the pillar of fire by day, and the cloud by night, and the cloud by day? The Shekinah glory will live in you. It's Christ Jesus. For in him, Colossians says, is all the hidden treasures of wisdom, there's one of the Fantastic Four, and knowledge, there you go, wisdom, Sophia, knowledge, gnosis. Wisdom is a wonderful thing. Wisdom comes from two things. When you put together the concept of understanding, sunesis, and the concept of knowledge, gnosis, when you put those two things together, you get wisdom. And wisdom is the wealth. It's the treasure. It's the greatest thing in the world to have. So here's some principles for you. Number one, true wealth has nothing to do with finances. It has everything to do with God's grace plan freely revealed to us through Christ Jesus. Christ in you. Jesus Christ will live in you. He will establish a tabernacle inside of you. God the Holy Spirit will empower you. God the Father will live in you. This is the great mystery of the church. And it's the most encouraging, unbelievable, fantastic wealth the world has ever known. You see, your own wealth, point two, cannot buy eternal life. You may have a fat bank account that has a lot of money in it, not like mine, but maybe yours does, but it won't buy you eternal life. Your wealth, point three, cannot buy peace with God. And your wealth will not leave this planet with you, point four. Remember the rich man in being in torment back in the book of Genesis, and he prayed, Father Abraham, send somebody to tell my family. Just send somebody to tell my family. The rich man in Lazarus, remember that illustration? Your wealth will not buy you out of the lake of fire. Once you're cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, you'll never come out. And it's not because God's mad at you. It's because you rejected the greatest gift the world ever could have had. The gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. You stuck your nose up at it. You said no. You said, I'm smarter than that. I don't need that. And you now will learn the hard way. This is what happens. You're either going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. The first birthday, that's the time you're born into this world. Your parents conceived you and you're born. The second birthday is the day you are born again, spiritually speaking. Your human spirit is made alive by God the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Now, the first death, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And then the second death, whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Money, wealth will not buy you out of the lake of fire. And lastly, your wealth can be a huge distraction. A huge distraction. Matthew 19:24, and again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the question that I would like to ask you this morning, if you're still listening to this radio show, what can you take away from this? What can you learn from this? What can you put to use in your life of what you heard me say here today? Well, understanding will keep you, Proverbs says. One of the fantastic four. Proverbs 2:11, understanding will keep you. Understanding is the Hebrew word tavun in the Hebrew, and it's a spiritual skill. And in the Greek New Testament, it's the word sunesis, S-U-N-E-S-I-S. Understanding will what? Will keep you. The Holy Spirit can disclose divine intelligence to you. By means of what? He discloses divine intelligence to you by means of the teaching of the Scripture, by means of the teaching of the Word of God. And so you have the privilege, you have the opportunity to have God's playbook opened up for you. You have the privilege and the opportunity to have understanding of what life is all about. And you don't even have to steal the playbook. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, but the Patriots were convicted for stealing the opposing team's playbooks. Football team, NFL Patriots, and they were fined $250,000 for stealing the playbooks. And the coach Belichick was fined $500,000 from the league for doing that as well. And so it's critical that you understand you don't have to steal the playbook. It's already been given to you. It's right here. All you have to do is learn what's in the book. It's already there for you. So think of the advantage you have over those in the devil's world. Those who live in the cosmic system who don't even have a clue as to what their future holds. I mean, they just have to look backwards. Oh, it was great 20 years ago. Oh, it was great 30 years ago. They look back because they don't have anything to look forward to. The unbeliever in the cosmic system can only look back to find his happiness. You, on the other hand, have a personal sense of destiny. Problem-solving device number 6 in the plot line of your soul, and that's looking forward. Think of the fear of the unknown that so many unbelievers possess. People that don't know Christ don't know what's going to happen. You see, fear is actually an emotional sin for the believer. Did you know that? It's a mental attitude sin. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee, the Bible says. You're not allowed to have fear because that's assuming an unassigned responsibility. God can handle the situation. So fear is an emotional sin for the believer, and fear and the spiritual life are not compatible. They don't go together. They don't work together. The spiritual life is not a life of fear, because fear eliminates your personal sense of destiny. You know what fear does? It sees a problem and it freaks out. So the opposite of fear is faith, and faith sees a solution and then marches on. So the mechanics to overcome any fear in your life is simply the faith rest drill. Living by fear means you are constantly in anxiety. Living by fear means you're constantly in anxiety and in emotional revolt of your soul. If your emotions control you and you're afraid all the time, then your soul gets locked in with negative volition and you will black out. You won't be able to see what's happening. You won't even understand what's happening. There's something in the Bible called scar tissue of the soul. And you will have that scar tissue in your soul and you will black yourself out. Your heart will begin to be hard because you live under the emotional control of your soul, and you will destroy your own self. Understanding can keep you from doing that if you're interested in learning what God has to say about it. See, you will actually have understanding about spiritual mechanics. You can have understanding about spiritual skills, spiritual rewards, the real treasure in your soul. The great treasure is understanding. Understanding what lies ahead and understanding how the story ends and what will happen in between. Even with the course of American history, if we continue to follow the path of destruction taught in the Bible, you understand where this nation is headed. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. And you will no longer be a priest nation for me, since you forgot the laws of your God. I will also forget your children, the Bible says. This is a warning to the Jew, a warning from God through the prophet Hosea. And what does it say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Is that not one of the fantastic four that I told you about? Wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. No knowledge, no understanding of God, no understanding of the plan of God. And when you reject the knowledge, someone comes along, like maybe like this radio show or another teacher, preacher, and gives you knowledge, and you reject it, then you're setting yourself up for a life of misery. So I'm going to ask you a simple little question today, and it will not take a genius to figure this out, because I'm certainly not a genius, but I know the answer to this question. How will we know when America, the freedom of the USA, good old USA, how will we know when we're toast? How will we know when we're done for? Well, the answer is here. Spiritual values lacking, social unrest, moral values gone, citizens emotionally out of control, politically explosive and mentally lacking, dumbed down America. When you see these things happen, when you see America become politically explosive, when you see people that are so dumb that when they're interviewed on the street, they don't even know who the vice president is. They don't even know any member of Senate or Congress. They know nothing except they know who the celebrities are. Yeah, oh sure. They know nothing about the people that make this country work. A lot of young people are dumbed down with social media. A lot of people are emotionally out of control. There's a lot of social unrest. Spiritual values are gone. Everything that used to be evil is now touted to be good. And everything that used to be good is now said to be very evil, to think like that. Proverbs 14:34 warns us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, tzedakah in the Hebrew, and a reproach or chesed, a shame. So you have to take a look at this country and say, is this nation being exalted, or are we a reproach to God? If you look across the board, I think you can figure that one out. Here's what you must remember. Righteousness is not inherited. It has to be acquired. And I'm talking about not self-righteousness, not you acting like you're somebody, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, and better than the rest of the world. The religious self-righteous person is the most obnoxious person in the world. These are the people that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about in a moral sense. Righteousness has a beneficial effect because it lifts up people. Now, self-righteousness, on the other hand, can destroy freedom. But the Bible says in this passage, sin is a reproach or a disgrace to a nation. And all you have to do is get on the internet, on the World Wide Web, just a little bit, and see how unrighteous we are. It doesn't take long to look at what's going on in this country and to see where people's desires and habits are. And there are millions and millions and millions of Americans that have no interest in God and are addicted to things that are sinful. No nation gets away with moral depravity. God's moral laws to Israel were found in Leviticus 20, verses 10 through 21. I will not read that for you. I would like for you to read it yourself. This was God's moral law to Israel, found in Leviticus 20, 10 through 21. Read it. These are the laws he set up for Israel to function under freedom and a prosperous nation. And look and see how we violated the same laws. Because no nation gets away with moral depravity. And yet our nation today is neck deep in sin and moral sickness. And I'm sure your pastor has told you this many times. And part of the reason is because of the prosperity and the freedom we have often will lead to sin and sickness. I mean, people got money, people got social media, people got the internet, people have sin natures and they have freedom. No one's looking over them telling them not to do this and not to do that. And sin nature out of control leads to a moral problem. So here's a principle you should remember. Just as Jeremiah warned the Jews in the Babylonian exile in Jeremiah 6:10, this is what he said, "To whom can I speak and give warning? Their ears are closed, they won't listen. The word of the Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it." In other words, they were offended by God's preaching, God's word. Jeremiah 6:15, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination?" Hebrew word, To'eva, disgusting things, morally disgusting things, spiritually disgusting things, idolatry, worship of idols, and Baal. Were they ashamed when they committed these abominations? No. 1 Kings 14:22 said, "Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all their fathers had done. And they also built high places and images on groves and every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land." Today, it's medically called androphilia or gynophilia. "And they did these things according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had already cast out before the children of Israel." Judah did the same thing. Judah went into the same Baal worship. Jeremiah 6:15, "Not only were they not ashamed, they could not even blush when they were confronted with it." Any client nation that tolerates and endorses these sort of practices that I just read to you guarantees that discipline is coming. And national discipline on a client nation We are in it today. We are in it today. Never, let me warn you right now, never get between the Lord and his punishment of a nation. In other words, you're not here to take your own revenge. Some of you have thoughts about certain things and you're out of line. God didn't send you to straighten this country out. He sent you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to replicate the life of Christ, not to have a revolution inside, not to get everybody to carry guns and shoot the bad guys. Romans 12:19, listen. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. So, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. And so, how goes America today? Could you answer that? How goes America today? The trend today is to disassociate with the local church, to use social media due to convenience. In other words, we want our spiritual lives to be convenient, and we want church to fit our schedule, not us to fit the schedule of the church. And unless, of course, it's the traditional Sunday morning AM service, the nod to God crowd that goes before going to Grandma's for dinner. Social media in spiritual matters does not play well for accuracy, I promise you. Anybody can say anything, and the authority of the pastor is soon removed. Remember these things. I told them to you. What's happening in America? Are we toast? There is a train wreck coming to this country. And you've heard me say it. I can hear the whistle blowing. I can see the light down the track. And unless things change, we're toast. We're done for. The only thing that'll stop it is you. If you take your spiritual life seriously, if God can count on you, you can stop it by having a historical impact on your nation, by being a spiritually mature believer and glorifying Jesus Christ to the maximum. Oh, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're paying attention. If you have any more questions, don't you hesitate to contact me anytime. I'll be glad to hear from you. Until next week, when I'm back, hopefully, same time, same place, same channel, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, a cordial invitation to stay tuned. Stick it out with me, just a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, all done without any type of manipulation. We say that every single show on purpose, because we're not here on purpose, because we're not here trying to solicit money. We're not here trying to solicit membership. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not asking you to join anything. We're just asking you to listen. Listen to me as I teach you what I know to be truth about the Word of God, and how you can establish a flat line in your soul, a main line of resistance in your soul, a forward line of troops is the term, F-L-O-T. If you take God's word and learn it and use it, it will protect your soul. It will stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. I want to dedicate my show today to some friends in Redding, California. We've had a radio show in Redding, California for several months now, maybe over a year, and they're experiencing a horrific tragedy right now with a fire that started in the Carr, C-A-R-R, forest area, has spread through Shasta and gone into Redding and destroyed over 1,000 homes in that area. Many people, six that I know of, maybe up to eight now, have lost their lives. thousands and thousands of acres of land had been destroyed, and I don't know if the fire's under control yet or not. But as I looked at the pictures on the internet, my heart was moved as I saw neighborhoods where 8, 10, 9 homes are completely destroyed, and yet there would be one home standing in the middle that wasn't even touched. It was amazing to see that. Amazing to see the devastation, amazing to see the loss, and to feel empathy for my friends in the Redding, California area. I want to share some words with you this morning, and hopefully these words will encourage you. And here's where we'll start, in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you can understand that verse, this is called faith rest. The faith rest drill is problem-solving device number 3 in the plot line of any believer's soul. Learning how to stand on the promises of God. This is a promise that you can claim as a believer in Jesus Christ if you're in this devastated area in Shasta County there in Redding, California. Fear is the Hebrew word yara or yare, and it means do not be afraid. It has a negative with it. Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. You may have lost everything you had. You may have lost your home. You may have lost your earthly possessions. In some cases, family members have been lost. But don't be afraid, because God said, I am with thee. This is a wonderful promise. You are never alone. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are never alone. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples in John chapter 16 that they were going to be scattered. And he said, I'm going to be alone, but the Father will be with me. Just as God the Father was with Jesus Christ in those final hours before he went to the cross and was crucified and died for the sin of the world, he's with you and with me where I'm sitting today and with you wherever you may be on this Sunday morning in Shasta County. Don't be dismayed, the verse says. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, which means distressed. Don't have stress in your life. There's no reason to have stress in your life. Stress in your life is indicated by worry. Stress in your life is indicated by fear, two things, and mental attitude sins. You can't afford to let mental attitude sins control your thinking, because if you do, then you'll get under emotional revolt of the soul. If your emotions are controlling you, you are not thinking. You have to disassociate from emotions, and as the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You have to learn to think divine viewpoint, and this is how you do it. Focusing on the fact that God is with you, do not be stressed out. Do not be distressed out. And why not? Because he said, I am your God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's nothing that ever happens in your life that God is not aware of. If your Father allowed this to happen in your life, it was for a reason, and I promise you, you will be better as a result of it. Not worse off, better off. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, do you remember the book of Job, where Job lost everything he had and he just wanted to die? He even got boils and sickness, and his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? In the end, God restored him twofold, gave him much more than he ever had. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if you can use a faith rest drill, if you can stand on a promise like this in a tough time like you're facing, you will be blessed. God will give it all back. He'll put you back on your feet. He'll supply your needs. How do I know that? Listen to what the verse said. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's 3 promises for you. He will give you strength to endure what you're having to face. He will help you as you try to rebuild or claim your insurance or do whatever you need to do. And he will uphold you. He will control you. He will keep you from being devastated with the right hand of my righteousness. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The only way that you're going to find a faith to do this is to understand that love is the greatest motivation. Your Father loved you in eternity past because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There was a loss that the Father had, the loss of the Son who went to the cross, paid for our sins, and that was love. And if you understand that from receiving Christ as your Savior and develop reciprocal love for the Father, then you know he loves you and he is not going to throw you under the bus. He will provide for you. He will be there for you. He will answer your questions about why these sort of things happen for you. But you must believe. You must demonstrate faith. And faith is not an easy thing to demonstrate. When Moses was fleeing the Egyptians, coming to the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh's army was behind him, and the Red Sea was in front of him, and maybe a million Jews worried about they were about to die, Moses' words were famous, where he said, "Stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. Stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord." If you will stay out of Panic Palace, if you will keep your emotions under control, you will go to your Father and trust him. He will strengthen you. But that is the demonstration of your faith. And that's how you please God. You demonstrate your faith to him by one simple word. You're trusting him through this situation. Here's some principles to understand. Under no circumstances are we ever to be frightened by the adversary, which is AKA the devil. Never. And two, and every believer, you, me, and any other person anywhere under the listening to this radio show, every believer has a divine promise of security and peace in the middle of frightening circumstances. Love demonstrates this. This is interesting. Love demonstrates must be reciprocated. And so when you demonstrate your love to God the Father by trusting him, he reciprocates that for you. Every believer has a divine promise of security and peace in the middle of frightening situations. Peace means you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to crawl up in Panic Palace and scream. You just have to trust the Lord. He will not abandon you. Three, these promises must be learned if you intend to access them. And there are like 7,000 promises in the Bible for the believer in Jesus Christ. We even have a book called Promises and Principles in the Word of God. And it's free. It looks like a telephone book. We'll be glad to send it to you, but it's just a way that you can look up these promises and claim them in your prayers. That's how you use promises. You take those promises to the Father in prayer, and you say, "Father, you said this, I believe this, and I'm waiting on you." And that's demonstrating faith. And you can order that book just by contacting us through our website, rickhughesministries.org. Here's another principle. The promises learned and deployed on the flight line of your soul are called the faith rest drill. Faith rest drill. They don't do you any good if you don't deploy them. They don't do you any good if they're in the Bible and you don't know them. You have to learn them and use them. Here's another principle. Short-time trusters never enjoy the benefit of security or the benefit of happiness in this devil's world. Short-time trusters. You can't afford to be a short-time truster, because short-time trusters always live with dread on the horizon. They never have a relaxed mental attitude, and they never have the happiness of Jesus Christ. By the way, the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." The joy that was set before him. Do you think you can find joy in what you've experienced in Redding and Shasta County? The answer is yes. There's a reason. God always has a plan. Nothing happens by accident. And if we will trust the Lord, if we put our faith in him, if we'll stand firm on the promises, he'll reveal it and he will bless you. In Matthew 8:25, his disciples came to him, woke him up on board a ship, and they were about to drown. They thought, They figured the Lord took him out in the middle of the Galilean Sea to drown him. And they said to him, "Wake us up, wake up, wake up, wake up, we're dying." And he said unto them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Faith was deflected by adversity. Why are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. Sooner or later, the principle says that there will be a storm hit your life. Maybe you don't live in Redding. Maybe you don't live in Shasta County. Maybe you're in Owego, New York. Maybe you're in Jackson, Mississippi. Maybe you're in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Maybe you're in somewhere in Houston, Texas, or Waco, Texas, or any of the other places our radio show plays. Sooner or later, a storm will hit your life, just like it's hitting the lives of these people in Redding. The question is, what you do in those circumstances will reflect the confidence you have in your soul. What you do in those circumstances will reflect the confidence you have in your soul. If you have no love for the Father, then you will have no security from the Word of God that you've learned and deployed in your soul. Because the only reason you would learn it and deploy it is you love the Father. This is what 1 John 5:3 says, "If you love me, obey me. My mandates are not hard." Do you love him? Remember, the Bible says if we say we love God and hate our brother, we're liars and the truth is not in us. Loving him is the greatest virtue we could ever have because it motivates us to obey him. And if we love him, it will reflect in our confidence and the peace that we have in our soul in spite of the storm that we're in. Proverbs 1:7. "The respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Knowledge has to start somewhere, and it starts with respecting God. It starts with trusting God, believing God. The Hebrew word here in this passage, the fear of the Lord, is the verb yirah. The verb yirah. And it simply means two mental attitudes, reverence and respect. Fear of God is to reverence God and respect God. And you must understand that. If you love him, you will reverence him and respect him. In Psalm 2:11, "Serve the Lord with fear," that's reverence and respect, "and rejoice with trembling." In other words, let joy abide in your soul, which means you have confidence in your Father's provision. When you have reverence for God and respect for God, it will manufacture joy or happiness in your life. I'll read the verse again. "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Rejoicing comes from the reverence and the respect that you have for God the Father. In Psalm 86, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and you do wonderful deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." That's universal reverence by the believers across the world anywhere to respect God and reverence God. In 1 Kings 4:32, "And he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. This is the majority of the proverbs written by Solomon. And he wrote many other proverbs, not just the ones included in the scriptures, but according to 1 Kings 4:32, he wrote over 3,000 proverbs and over 1,005 songs. And God blessed him with great wisdom, great supernatural insight. He was able to see things that other people didn't see. And this was because God gave him great wisdom, great discernment. And Solomon recognized that the beginning of wisdom centered in the reverence and respect for the Lord. And he wrote in his Proverbs with the intent of giving a course of instruction in wisdom, which is the advantage that life has for you. It's preparation for life, instruction for living life in the devil's world. Here's a principle. Without preparation, there's no execution. Without preparation, there's no execution. That's the principle you need to remember. So Solomon did not write every proverb. There were a few written by some other people that are in the book of Proverbs. But you have to remember this. By understanding the process of gaining wisdom, which is called divine viewpoint, then we understand the foolishness of human viewpoint. Human viewpoint that saturates the whole universe, the cosmic system, socially, politically, all kind of stuff, humanism, socialism, communism, progressivism. They're all designed to reconstruct politics and change the way you think. And you should remember this, that Satan is in a war for your thoughts, even right now. As you face what appears to be an uphill battle, as you face your biggest fear, loss of everything you've ever owned, it's all gone, burned up in the fire. Satan is in a war for your thoughts. Please read the book of Job. Go back and read through it. Ponder over what happened to Job. And look what God did for him. You see, Satan will use empty words to try to deceive you. Ephesians 5:6, let nobody deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, God's wrath on the sons of disobedience will come. Empty words. And some people, you know, they give you empty words and say, it'll be okay, don't you worry. It happened to my grandmother. I mean, those are nice, thoughtful, kind things to say, but in times like this, you need doctrine. You need the Word of God. You need the promises of God that you can stand on. You need the gold that's found in the treasure of the Word of God that you can cash in. It's the only way you can maintain stability in your soul. It's the only way you can keep a relaxed mental attitude in your soul. But Satan is not going to give you that. He's giving you empty words and persuasive words. Paul said in Colossians 2:4, don't let anyone deceive you with his persuasive, reasonable-sounding arguments, because they're false. 2 Peter 2:3, they're lies. And in their greed and in their lust for power, they will exploit you with deceptive words, lies. And by giving you information like I'm telling you today, what I want to do and trying to do is to equip you with a bank of values. And it's just something called wisdom, the greatest thing in the world, wisdom. It's the gold of the Word of God. It gives you great treasure to have wisdom and to have discretion to make good decisions based on divine viewpoint. And anyone that lost everything they did in these fires around Shasta County is going to have wisdom and discretion in what they do in the future. And the only way that comes is from the Word of God. The humility to receive instruction. Nothing's going to change. There will be no contentment in life if you can't take instruction, since there's no consistency in learning. So, you have to learn the Word of God to know where you stand, what God expects out of you, what you can expect out of God. And it's very important to attain wisdom, spiritual ammunition, to have knowledge, divine viewpoint, understanding, discipline, prudence. All these things are yours, and they're all available to you from the Word of God. So, successful living requires accurate instruction. Without instruction, then in our children, for example, I have four, our children are just wandering around in the devil's world unprepared if they don't have some instruction. I mean, they can be recruited by Satan's lies, people waiting to deceive them with empty words, promising words that don't mean anything. The wisdom that we're talking about comes from instruction of the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, then you can override the emotional fear, panic, ploy in your soul. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be in a panic situation. As a Christian, this is a wonderful time for you to evangelize your neighbor. It's a wonderful time for you to come beside them and demonstrate to them your relaxed mental attitude, to demonstrate to them how you trust the Lord even in this disaster. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, nothing's overtaken you that's not common to the world. There have been fires before, many fires before. And it says God will always provide a way out, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The way out is simply the word trust. To trust your Father gives you a relaxed mental attitude. To have a divine viewpoint in the middle of this will give you great joy. Remember the verse, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." If God allowed this to happen in your life, there's a reason. And that reason is so that you can demonstrate the stability of living in Jesus Christ. Disruptive crises can often cause an emotional override in your life. And when that happens, we kind of abandon the plan of God. You can't afford to do that right now. In the game of life, you're only going to get one shot. That's all. And you need all the information you can get. So with God's grace provisions and your positive volition, nothing can distract you from trusting Him, standing on His promises, having a relaxed mental attitude, and letting the joy of Jesus Christ reside in your soul. You know what happens when you do that? Here it is. Listen carefully. John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give it unto you, but..." It's a different sort of peace, not the world peace the world offers. The peace the world offers is the money in the bank, the security that you have. You know, well, okay, I lost it all. I got enough money to rebuild. Well, it may be true, but that's not the peace we're talking about here. Here we're talking about the peace I give unto you, not like the world gives. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." When you have the faith rest drill, when you operate under divine viewpoint, when you have the happiness of Jesus Christ in your life, then you have this peace, and you're not afraid. This peace is what the Lord Jesus Christ offers, and it's internal. It's not external. It's not something that people will see, but it's internal. And it doesn't infer that there'll never be any turmoil or any conflict. It's an internal mental attitude that leaves you free of worry, free of bitterness, free of anxiety, or any other mental attitude sins. Remember that. The first thing required of the disciples was they had to have faith. They had to trust in what He was telling them. And the Holy Spirit would instill the confidence by comforting them in the Lord's absence when He left and directing them in their ministry that was to come. But He told them that He was going to go away in John 14:15, "But I want to send someone to be with you." It was called the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, and this is with you also. You have an Advocate. You have a Defender. You have a Coach. He's the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He will strengthen you. He will sustain you. He will give you insight if you allow Him. But if you worry, if you get bitter, if you get angry, if you get mad, those are all mental attitude sins that will quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. So, you can't afford to do that. In Luke 24:30, "And they spoke with Him. Jesus stood in the middle of them and said unto them, Peace, calm down. Peace, calm down. But they were terrified. They were frightened. And they thought they had seen a ghost." This is the resurrected Jesus Christ. And He showed them His hands and He showed them His feet and said, "It's me, boys. Calm down. Don't be freaking out." And that's the thing you cannot afford to do, because faith will obliterate any fear in your life, and faith will replace it with peace and joy. Isn't that amazing? The life of the mature believer is the greatest life the world offers, since it's founded on faith, grounded by a relaxed mental attitude and producing peace in a world of uncertainty, in a world of conflict, and in a world of crisis. You can have peace. John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He lives in you. He knows what you're going through. And He will provide for you. "I will not leave you comfortless," He said. "I will come to you. And peace I will leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." You know, basically, fear is you assuming a responsibility that's not yours. Trust the Lord. Wait on Him. Focus on Him. And He will provide your needs. Thank you for listening. My prayer is with you. Until next time, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thanks for listening to The Flatline.